It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My next guest was recently named Comedian of the Year at the American Comedy Awards. Please welcome the very strange Carrot Top.
You're a funny guy, man, and you at least used to take a lot of and I never understood it.
So listen, I've got to go down to Atlantic City. I'm performing at Bally's. You just heard about this today? They had a cancellation and they instantly called me.
Who canceled?
Carrot Top. I told you, my career is fine.
Welcome to another episode of Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. I'm the host of the show, and my guest today is someone named Bradley Cooper.
So excited to be here. Carrot Top behind me.
Yeah. Hi, Carrot.
Hey, what's up?
I've always been a guy that's considered the source. I mean, I was always picked on as a kid, but when I'd come home, my mom was, you know, what happened? I picked on me. Who was it? And I was this guy. Well, consider the source, right?
Yeah.
So it's always been that with comedy, too. Like when, you know, George Carlin said I was funny, that negated every that said I suck.
So I think it's time to go into the complaint department. First thing on my list tonight, airport security. There's too much of it. Did you pack your bags yourself? No. Carrot Top packed my bags.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
What a way for us to open up our last day here in Las Vegas.
Come on, man.
We are at Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Tanny is here. Shane is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
And sitting next to that man is Carrot Top.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was fun listening to that little montage, too. I thought that was and Jay Leno. Then the guy's strange. I think I'm that strange.
Yeah.
But the Carlin thing is in my show. You know, I put that whole clip in there, and it's a really beautiful setup. Because when he does it, you know, I do like the "I'm not worthy" kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just a funny bit. Yeah, pack your bags, you know, Carrot Top.
We saw the show. God, what was that? Like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. Shane and Tanny and our old colleague Danny Parkins, and it's like, man, Lawrence, the show was so good.
You guys kept talking about it.
Oh, there were so many jokes. It's like insane. And just like the last day or two, once we knew you were coming, it's so great that you're here, trying to remember all the jokes. I can't. How many gags are in the show? Do you have any
idea? I can't remember any of them either. That's the problem. there is a lot. I don't know if we can, but there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of props. There's a lot of stand-up. There's a lot of video kind of wall jokes. You know, I do like a drum thing, and then the drum thing comes up behind me. So it's like another visual aid as opposed to just holding up a prop.
That's the thing. Like, it was so layered. It was so much better than it needed to be.
No.
Like, you could probably just entertain people at one-third of that capacity.
Okay.
You know, and take their money. But, like, you give a crap. You can tell.
Yeah,
like, you're not coasting.
Well, I think that's the most key to the whole thing, and maybe why I've been around a long time, is if you ever any kind of show you go see and they're just walking through it, it's a horrible feeling, right? Because the audience can sense it, and you even sense it.
Yep.
Like, I don't give it, like you said, I don't give a shit. And, and the crowd knows. They're not stupid. My crowd, it might be stupid, but they know. They know. They know right away.
Yeah, right.
I know that you've talked about the Carlin thing before, but for you at that time, what did it mean to know that that guy endorsed you?
Everything in the world. I mean, literally. It was. To this day, probably almost the best clip I could just die watching it and be done, because it was my hero. And for him to say my name out loud in his special, it floored me. That's why I put it in the show every night, too. We do it's an homage to a lot of the comedians that inspired me, like this music.
let's be honest. We're in a ridiculous spot in the world. Have you been here before? Circa Resort and Casino is an amazing place.
Yes.
And they've married this, like, this pool culture. Have you been to pools in Vegas? You're the king of Vegas.
Do I look like I go to a pool? I'm clear. I mean,
but like, they've married this pool thing, and so we got disco music and all the sports in the world, and of course sports radio, and of course Carrot Top.
It's
all of these things, of course, go together. this is natural.
How did you decide that this was going to kind of be home base? Was this just where the money was, or were you like, I just want to be out here?
No, it happened by accident. I had never performed in Las Vegas, and I was performing on the Regis and Kathy Lee show.
As one does.
I did that all the time, and I would destroy on that show. And this guy walked over and said, man, like, where do you get all this stuff? And I said, I make it. And he said, you make this? Like, he thought I bought it in some store. I found some of the stuff in junkyards, but turned them into jokes. But he said, you must just kill in Vegas. And I said, I've never been. And he said, you've never been to Vegas? And I said, no. He said, you are Vegas. The whole act, the look, the visuals, the thing. So I said, okay. And he said, if I get you a booking there, would you do it? Now, I'm a whore. Of course I did. So they booked me at Bally's Casino in 1995.
Wow.
And I did one show, and they came into me and said, we got to move you to another room, a bigger room. And I never stopped playing Vegas. It was just that one guy got me there.
Wow.
He was Kathleen Gifford's manager, of all things. And I just took the gig, and then we did about a year at Bally's, and then the MGM asked me to go there, so we were there 10 years.
Wow.
And now we've been at Luxor 19 years, almost 30 years in Vegas.
So, 30?
So none of this was here. Well, some of this old downtown was here.
Yeah, right.
That guy over there, and that he's there.
He was there. Yeah, you can tell.
He was here.
You can tell he was there. He's aging pretty well.
Yeah,
I think,
looks
actually.
Good. Yeah. Looks good.
And so we're talking 30 years? We're like 30 years steady?
In Vegas, 40 years in comedy.
Yeah. But 30 years steady in Vegas. I mean, who else has done 30 years straight at this point?
I don't think any. I mean, we have that question about the longest running. My crew says mine's the longest running. But it's like Penn and Teller, Copperfield, maybe?
Maybe.
But they're magic. See, so I'm comp. So,
yeah.
And Penn and Teller doesn't talk, so he doesn't count.
So yeah. That's like half the time.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't.
So it's Penn, maybe. Penn, not Teller.
Yeah. Teller was a Latin teacher at my high school.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, he was a Latin teacher.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought he was a mime teacher. No.
And he was apparently really funny. He was a little before me, but like was apparently really funny.
Awesome.
But I've never heard his voice. I mean, it's a pretty remarkable thing.
I have heard his voice.
So who are the kings of Vegas entertainment? Because like to me, like Carrot Top is like at this, you're talking about 30 years, man. And it was packed the night we were there. And who do you consider like a colleague in terms of a Vegas comic?
Well, there's not a lot of comics.
The guy with the puppets? Is he Jeff Dunham?
Oh, Jeff Dunham. Yeah, but he comes in and out. He doesn't stay.
Okay.
So as far as just a permanent resident, there's not a comic.
Were you ever hesitant about the permanent residency?
Absolutely.
Sure. Why?
I was a road guy. I was on a tour bus. I was that guy. This is like a desk job, you know. I'm not going to punch in every night. And so I reluctantly did it. The 10 years were in and out at MGM for a bit. I would go on the road, but still. But then the Luxor was full time.
Yeah.
And so I said no at first. And then they came back and said, you want to rethink this? And I said, no, I don't want the gig. And so I did a year. And then I said, oh, I want more years. So I just kept signing like 5 years and 5 years and 5 years. And five. So now I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know.
It seems like a healthy life. If you can survive the ridiculousness.
Right, right. See, that's what you do. You don't really go here ever. You know what I mean? You go home. So you do the show and you go home, and that's how you survive Vegas.
Yeah.
Because people are like, how do you do a month in Vegas? I'm like, because I go home. I don't, you know.
Yeah. One of my best friends does a show downstairs for VSiN. And I asked him about that because I'm always curious about people who live in Vegas. He's like, man, I live 25 miles away from here.
Yeah, right.
I come down here to work, and then I leave.
Right, right, right.
And
sure.
Go home.
That's what most, the hookers on the blow. I have that at home. I have. You know,
that's smart.
Right.
It's more controllable
right,
that way.
Right, right.
In terms of quality and access.
Right. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, you have your own stash, your own thing.
Do you guys need any? Do you and Jeff, your manager, do you need any hookers and blow?
No, we're good.
Okay.
We are overlit. We are way good.
All right, good.
I mean, look at us.
People can on Twitter. It's amazing. We're trying to remember like what sports gags are in the show, because like the volume of gags and the trunks and everything that's there. There was a Packers helmet with tissues, but I don't remember the context.
Well, the joke was, I think it was right. Your buddy here just said, I think it was when right after Aaron Rodgers had left Green Bay.
Yeah.
So I had a helmet. I was like, ooh, you know, they lost their leader. But the best part about that helmet, this is great. It kills everything. Now it's a Chiefs helmet because, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not making this up. So every year it was the Buffalo Bills lost four Super Bowls in a row.
Yes, sir.
That's when the prop originated. So I did it on, you know, Jay Leno and whatever. And it killed. I mean, it was like the Buffalo Bills, oh, my God, right? And then I was walking through an airport, and it was in Philadelphia, and this big, huge black guy walked up to me and said, I play for the Buffalo Bills. And I was like, oh, awesome. And then I realized, oh, shit.
He's angry at
you. I thought he was just happy. I said, great, nice to meet you. Like he wanted to meet me. And then I thought, oh, crap. He goes, you think that's funny? I said, no, well, it is, but it's not. I mean, you know, I had a few things, but that's been around that long. So it's like we call it the prop that keeps on giving. So it will be every week during football season, it'll be something different.
Yeah.
So it keeps. And then we made it a basketball one. We made it a baseball, a hockey helmet. So it's like the gift that the prop that keeps on giving.
So it's you got living bits. You got living bits that
change. Definitely has been around for a long time.
What other sports?
We have every helmet. They're all backstage painted. So you just grab a green bag. Yeah.
Whatever one fits. Yeah. What other sports gags are on the show now?
Well, there's one that one of my favorite ones. Speaking of it, sports was Mike Tyson. So when he got into that fight, when he bit the guy's ear, right? It was a big deal. Of course, I have to have a prop, so I made a boxing gear. You know, the red boxing thing that goes over your head with ears on it. Big ears, and it was on it was on everything. It was on the cover of USA Today, ESPN, because it was so visually funny. And I said, I made this for Tyson's opponents to wear, so they'll have something to chew on, right? and we're Tyson to chew on it. So I do it, it kills, and all of a sudden I'm at a sporting event some event.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to, God bless him, he's no longer here with us, Dennis Hopper. And I'm like, I'm just like, wow, Dennis Hopper. And he's like, character up. And he's like, I'm like, Dennis Hopper knows me. And he's like, knows my act. He goes, hey, you know that Tyson thing? And I said, yeah. He goes, God damn, that is so funny. And I said, yeah, I got a lot of miles out of that. And he looks, I swear to God, he looks up. He goes, oh, you know Mike, right?
Oh,
and
I said,
oh, no. And I look up, and Mike Tyson is walking over to give him a hug. And he hugs him, and he goes, how you doing? And he's this is literally, he's hugging him. His eyes are looking at me behind Dennis Hopper's head. So he's hugging Dennis, but I'm looking right at Mike Tyson. And he just stops. He's like, hey, you're the one that did the helmet with. And I said, and he's trying to get, like, he's like, you think that's funny? And I said, No. And he punches me like a fun punch.
Uh-huh.
But I'm still sore from it. It was about 8 years ago. It was just, he just went, yeah. And I was like, ah, right? And then he hugged me and said, oh, we're a good kid, you know, we're good.
Oh,
but it was
wow.
It was a scary moment, you know, because people always say, do people get mad when you make props about him? I'm like, he did.
All right, so there are a lot
the
of
last
stories
one
about,
you want to be mad at you.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories with Mike Tyson where the story doesn't end like that.
Yeah, right. Mitch Blood Green did not get a loving tap.
There's a lot of guys who used to date Robin Givens, too, like Brad Pitt, who had to jump out of a hotel room because Mike was coming. Wow. So
Dennis Hopper playing defense on Mike Tyson.
Yeah, he was, too. He's like, hey, you don't care. He's a good kid.
The last time we saw you, that trunk of props was massive.
Yeah.
So I'd assume you have a warehouse,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the size of the warehouse, and how often do you have to go back there to grab new things?
It's a pretty good-sized warehouse. It's right across from the Luxor, and it's full of stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool. You walk in there and you're like, oh, there's all the Clinton stuff and all the, you know, all the eras of the 80s and all the MTV boxes that I did on MTV. And
yeah.
It's cool. I go through and I always want to pull stuff back in. And they're like, no.
Anybody ever come and filmed you there? Like,
yes.
Talking through
it
and stuff?
Yeah, the Oprah people did. They
That's awesome. So do you build? Do you build stuff? Does Jeff build stuff?
Or no,
you got builders?
I have a guy that if I can't build it, I have them. But I usually build it all myself. Unless it's something that really needs to be like an engineered kind of thing. I had a NASCAR hat that... It has little cars that go around your head so you can feel like you're at the race, you know. Said, I can't go to NASCAR. It's but it's great. But you wear it and it goes rum, rum, rum. So that took a little bit of engineering for me.
And with you being part of the craft part of it, does it allow for you to even think deeper about what the jokes might be because you're literally putting your hands on it?
Yeah. I usually have to make it myself because I know how it's going to, the feel of it and how I'm going to present it. And another sports prop, you never call your own stuff brilliant, but this is, I'll tell you why it's brilliant.
Own it.
Because they stole it. So I was living in Charlotte. I had just gotten into comedy and there was a baseball strikes or something that, right, the players were on strike. And I'm in my garage, right, with a baseball bat. And I'm like, I got to think of something funny about this strike. So I took a baseball bat and I just put a piece of wood and a screw, right? A piece of wood about that big and a screw.
Yeah.
And it would pop, right? When you, like that, you'd swing it but pop it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, this is a bat for baseball players so that at least it sounds like they're getting fucking hits. Because no one was hitting. And I still have it in my warehouse, thinking it would go on the road. But I remember thinking, this is ingenious, right? Whammo now has a bat. You swing it and it goes,
wow.
Yeah.
So you can take a practice swing and get that positive reinforcement.
Yeah, right, so you feel like you're getting a hit. But and so the stadium be like, ooh, there's a hit. You know, but then
And I think the Whammo has like the crowd noise.
Yeah, they probably didn't have even the crowd thing. They took the initial fuckers, you know.
So
there's a whole bunch of them. Yeah, I have a few they've done.
We're terrestrial radio. Just
oh,
so you
sorry,
know. You're good. But give it a minute. What
my
do we need?
Mute button. I have a mute button.
We need 45 seconds for it to.
Yeah, we've got like 30 seconds. The delay will reset.
Sorry.
We're with Carrot Top.
I mean, you wouldn't have
670
the
score.
Right.
Yeah.
You might expect that with Dennis Leary, but not Carrot Top.
What did Dennis Leary ever do to you?
Nothing. He's great.
Okay, good.
Love Dennis Leary.
Yeah. So you got patents on all this stuff?
I do. I started to do now that I've had a few stolen.
Right?
The other one that was, and it's great. There's three or four. There's three or four that are big.
Okay.
This one's not a sports one, but I guess it could be sports. When you go to the bathroom, right? The urinal, the toilet seat,
yes.
Right? I made it where it would light up. So you guys wouldn't miss it. That's in every store now.
And I
made that, you know, with Christmas lights and built it in with a little button. And I had, you know.
It's amazing.
Toilet seat. You know the toilet paper?
Yeah.
Where you take it over. Some people like it under.
Yes.
So I had this prop. You talk about elementary. I said, you like paper, the toilet paper over. Half the crowd would clap. So how many people like it under? And they would clap. I said, see, you just flip it. And if you flip it, it goes over. And if you flip it this way, it goes under. And people, the crowd would be like, I go, I know it's not funny, but it's like, what?
It's genius.
And so then now they have some guy made that, and it's in the Home Depot now.
See?
Was there ever a point, because you got so much grief, about what you were doing and your creativity that you thought, all right, maybe I need to just let the props go and I'll just go out there and be funny on my own? And
well, no, because I never, that was the show. That was what it was. I was proud of the props, and I used to find it funny that they would give me grief for doing them. I mean, I say we, it's not my audience, it's not the people, it's not America, it's not the American people, it's comics that were giving me crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like we said in the intro, it was always, who said it? So if it was like George Carlin said I was funny, Gary Shandling came up and said, that was great. And then I got some guy in his basement in Nebraska saying that I'm a hack.
Yeah.
You know, you consider, I got Carlin. I got a pretty good team of people. So I was the prop guy. I like doing the props. And so I never once tried to change that and just stand up. Now, I wanted to do this on The Tonight Show one time. I told Jay, I said, Jay, I want to do a whole set without props. I want to wheel it out, though, and have it there. But I'm not going to open it. I'm just going to do stand-up. And he was like, but that's crazy. And I'm going, so they're not going to do your character. So I said, no. And he was all for it. But their people were just terrified. Like, what if it, I said, all right, if it starts to eat it, I'll go into the box. But they never let me do it.
Good self-edit right there, by the way.
But now my show is probably, I would say, 65% stand-up.
Was there anyone in the community that had maybe dogged you out that came back and was like, you know what, man, I had it completely wrong?
I feel like hundreds, that's happened a lot.
Hundreds.
I feel like if there was a wave of, like, Carrot Top disdain, it has shifted.
I feel like a lot of that changed after the Marc Maron interview.
I was just going to say that.
Okay, yeah. So what was
no,
that
literally,
like?
That
was like 10, 15 years ago. He made the whole deal about he was one of the guys that was kind of like...
On WTF.
Yeah.
And he had a volatile Gallagher interview like the same year or the year before
that's
or something.
Exactly right.
When it became obvious that Gallagher was troubled and angry and resentful and problematic. And like it became clear that you were a good human. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that mattered, I think, to people.
It did. And that's exactly what I have a came on the Marc Maron across on that show, and people were coming out of the woodwork after that, saying like, "Man, I love that." Then with Joe Rogan, that got in a whole another audience that was like, "You're right. People are calling and say, yeah, but I never liked you, but I do like you now."
Yeah.
So I don't know. It only took 40 years to get people to like me.
But it's amazing what happens when you actually let people in to like the realness. And the crazy, like whatever our version of crazy is, it's like people are like, oh, I get it. He's nuts.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
Like I'm nuts. Like I remember realizing when we're watching your show, there was so many levels going on. Like you were doing a show to the audience, but you were commenting on the show in your mind and then commenting on how the audience was reacting while also commenting on whatever your thought process was, and then sometimes commenting on that. And I was like, all right, there's like four or five levels of conversations going on here. And at some point, I was more tuned into that than I was even at the jokes. And I'm laughing at the jokes, I'm laughing at the props, but I'm like, look how comfortable he is communicating on all those levels. It's like, that is some evolved and like open, vulnerable realness that's very appealing, frankly.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean? So like, have you always had that many voices in your head? Like, you have more control of them?
I think I've had more at one point, but I've had therapy since then. No, there's a lot of things. You're right, though. There's a lot of things happening in the show that I don't even know I'm doing. So most of my friends that come say, I love the under-the-breath stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when under-the-breath stuff? When you're commenting, I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So I never watch the show. Where are you going? I'm one of those guys. I'm not going to watch myself. We record every night, but I've never watched it.
But yeah, that under-the-breath stuff, it's like, was there a point where you got comfortable just letting yourself do all of that?
It was just one, it was a, I don't even know. We've had discussions about when it happened. It happened way before COVID, but after COVID, it was kind of an interesting thing. I was the first one to come back to perform, but they wouldn't allow 40 people in the room.
Yeah.
So my joke, opening joke is I've got more props than people. I mean, this is literally. And they were all spread out, too, right? So the first 20, 40 feet was all roped off. And I would say, boy, this is, Gallagher bombing here, because I'm not hitting anybody.
No watermelon on
anybody. No Smash-O-Matic.
And it was so they had a lot of joke. But then I started getting more comfortable and just doing stand-up because I couldn't do the props because no one could see them. So I just started telling stories and more stories telling, and now it's become, really has evolved into more of a stand-up storytelling show than it used to be, more manic and prop-driven.
Yeah, and now it feels like it's like the story of your life going on.
Yeah, in
like
a sense.
We see you on Star Search.
Right.
We see like the whole arc of a...
Yeah, it's fun to show people that because they don't realize it. You know, they're like,
no!
Star Search. I'm like, yeah, I'm old. Google it.
Hey, Chappelle started on Star Search, too.
Yeah,
I saw
a
clip of that the other day, and I was like, oh, I totally remember this.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Scott, man, this was a real delight. Thank you for coming by and hanging out with us, man.
I got to tell my Chicago thing real quick.
Because please.
This is a great honor for you. Your audience would love this.
Please.
So, you know, the Cubs logo, CUBS.
Yes.
So I always made parody shirts, always, Coca-Cola, classic, Carrot Top, or whatever. So we were playing Chicago, and I said, ooh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a Carrot Top Cubs shirt. So it says C-T-O-P. Right? It fits perfect. It looks like a Cubs shirt. I mean, literally.
Oh, I want one. Did you make one?
Yeah, we made tons of them, but it's funny. So I'm walking around somewhere in Chicago one day with that shirt because I thought, I'm wearing my clever Carrot Top Cubs shirt. And this guy's like, Cubs suck. And I said, no, it's a Carrot Top shirt. And he goes, Carrot Top sucks too.
Yeah. Both institutions. They're not going anywhere. Neither the Cubs nor the Top is going anywhere.
Scott, if people are coming to Vegas, how can they see you?
They can see me. They can see me. We see out in Vegas? What was your question? Music got right in my ear.
No, it's all good, man. If fans are flying out here after hearing this, they want to see you. How can they see you?
Oh, it's the Luxor Hotel Casino. We're there every night, 8 o'clock. Every night but Sundays, yeah.
Man, this is a joy. This has been a dream since we saw you that night, man.
Thank you for coming to the show, too, and thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
What a pleasure, man.
The amazing Carrot Top.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
That's the way you start a Vegas show.
Yes, that's
it right there.
Excellent way to start things off. We need to take a timeout. We will reset. We hope that you enjoyed it. Looking at all the reactions on Twitch and the text line, it seems like you did, and that's all thanks to Scott. We're going to take a break. We'll talk about the craziness that happened in the city last night. That's next here on The Score.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.